Exotic is late as always. Bricker, are you there? Are you cussing me out or is that
for help?
It's Morse code. I think he's trying to tell us something.
I think he's trying to tell the viewers he needs help.
Beep twice if you need help. Beep three times if I need help. God damn it. Where the fuck's Exotic? You know what? He's not cool anyway. The three of us are the real squad. I mean,
wait, he's dead. We killed him off. Last force fact, we killed him off. Again.
Wait, was he dead when we had the incident at the incident at the forge?
Yeah.
Oh, he was. So that's all that matters. See, because Eric got to meet us three, and then Exotic wasn't there because he couldn't be because he was dead. Also, shout out Eric from Houston, Texas. We were chilling at the forge playing some Magic, and he recognized my voice while I was purchasing an egregious amount of cards that I shouldn't have purchased. And he was like, oh, I know your voice. And so I'm sitting there like, well, where do you know my voice from? I'm getting scared, like trying to think of like what's going on. He was like, the Force Unscripted, right? Boom, fucking mind blown. It was the greatest day of my life so far.
It was really dope. Like, you brought him up, and well, because he said like he was listening to the pot, like the latest episode on the way to that place, so like he had just been listening to our shit, and then he heard your voice in line, and then like came upstairs and you introduced him. And again, I'm thinking like, oh, this is somebody from school that I do not fucking recognize, but because, you know, like, who the fuck else would you be bringing up to like say hi to the rest of us? And then you're like, he just recognized my voice from the podcast. And I was like, oh shit, I'm fucking Winchy, bro. And this is Brick3PO.
I'm going to be thinking about that moment for the next year, maybe two.
We want you to know, Eric, that every time that we're like, man, I really don't feel like doing the podcast today, you've now guilt tripped us into doing the fucking podcast. I'm always going to be like, I cannot let Eric down.
If we do it for no one, we do it for Eric.
And Boat Guy.
I miss Boat Guy. I miss Exotic. Where the fuck's Exotic?
We'll cut him some slack this time. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Force Unscripted. Today we got our Andor episode for you. I'm here with my co-hosts Nikita, Exotic, and Brick3PO.
Sup, nerds?
What up?
I have to fucking hate you.
Brick3PO found a new button to press in his massive amount of cybernetics. Thank you, God. Words. I haven't had enough coffee today. I've only had 5 cups.
Only?
Yeah, I need like 5 more. What's up, everybody? We're going to talk about Andor today. Andor and Andor season 2. We've done an Andor episode in the past.
Two, actually.
I think that, yeah. But this one is going to be about season 2. Action-packed, probably. Because I think Exotic's a hater. And so stay tuned and sit tight for some good old Star Wars banter.
I'm never letting you open another episode. Stay tuned.
You know it.
Sit tight.
Sweet dreams, baby girl.
No, but I was very satisfied with Andor season 2. Exotic is a hater, of course, because no Wookiees, no Jedi action. So, of course, he's already going to shit talk it. But there's a lot to unpack with Andor season 2. The first thing that I want to talk about, because y'all know me, always a little gay. I love the gay space rave. What a way to end a wedding.
Bro, that... I loved that so much. Like, the whole thing was tense, okay? Because we got what's her bucket going after what's his bucket, right? God, names.
Which characters? Bix?
No, we got
Mon?
The girlfriend of Mon Mothma's cousin. Shit, names, man. You know what I'm talking
about? Oh, like, you're talking about the lesbians.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, we're on the, you said on the topic of gay, so like, that should have been the first one that came to your mind. She's going after the guy who helped
Hey
Mon Mothma.
I remember that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Stinsa, that was her name.
Senta, thank you. Yes. Senta going after Tay. That whole scene is tense because, like, he's getting drunker and drunker as the night goes on. And he's like, I need to talk to you. And then Luthen is there, like, the devil on Mon Mothma's shoulder. Like, kill him. Get rid of Lucens. I told you this would happen. So we have that, like, you know it's going to be, like, an emotional thing, but they never actually show us, like, Senta doing the deed or anything. But we know it happens, because Vel and Senta talk about it, you know, 3 years later, 4 episodes later, or some shit like that. So that whole portion of it was tense, and then you just got Mon Mothma, who's like, okay, I just sold my daughter off for basically, like, she finds out essentially no reason, right? Because that was kind of part of the thing. She was like, fuck, I just, like, did all this for nothing. And then she gets drunk. She's like, the daughter's asking her for advice. And she's just like, nut up. Good luck. You can back out if you want. And the daughter's like, I wish you were not drunk.
No, I wish you were drunk.
I wish you were. Yeah, I wish you were drunk. And then Mon Mothma was like, you know what? Challenge accepted. And then there she is doing space rave. Which is not, like, we've never seen, like, a party kind of scene, really.
He was Chandrillin' like voguing. It was great.
It was awesome. Just to see, like, we've seen clubs before, but we've never just had, like, a scene of, like, this is what, like, rich people do on Coruscant or on, you know, Chandrilla or whatever, right? So that was a pretty cool, like, new take on things.
I'm sad there's no death sticks.
Drugs? Really?
Yeah. I'm surprised you weren't talking about it.
I liked it. Because I think what Andor does best out of anything that has ever been put out for Star Wars is the contrasting juxtaposition between the worlds that are involved in these stories. So, like, even while that scene is going on, like, you've got Bix fighting off sexual assault, you've got Brasso, you know, running from stormtroopers on a speeder getting shot at and eventually dies. Then you have, like, the juxtaposition that I talked about in the other two episodes we did about Andor, where you're comparing the worlds of the Rebellion, where you have the very strict line approach to, like, let's use our democratic ways through Mon. And then you have Saw just being like, ah, yeah, let's go get the drugs, you know, like being very guerrilla style, attacking shit, bailing out, going to the next spot, wash, rinse, and repeat. Then you have the comparison between, like, the shit that Cyril and Dedra are doing, while you have Cassian, Bix, Clea, and Luthen all doing, you know, their rebellion shit, and you see the Empire working to try to uncover them. There's just so much compare and contrast between the different worlds that exist in here. That's what I love about it. But also Gay Space Rave, because voguing is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, don't forget about the intense rock paper scissors match.
That shit pissed me off.
Yeah.
that was the one thing from the series that also, going back to what Winchy said about, like, them not showing, like, what happened with Tay and Senta, I feel like the worst part about Andor, because they kind of did it in, like, 3 episode, like, triplets. The first triplet, there were so many unanswered questions, like, what happened to the homies that they just left on the that Andor left on the planet, which I assume was Yavin, because when he's flying away, you see temples. So I assume they just died, because they never say what happened to them. Like, they just got hunted or starved, right?
Oh yeah, the rebels that were taken down in season 1. That's who they were, right?
Yeah, that was on Yavin, right? Because when he flies off, there's temples.
But I don't think it was Yavin. They said where they were. The attack was gonna. Didn't they say where the attack was gonna take place in the first season? Because they had the intel.
But they didn't say where Cassian was originally supposed to meet his contact. It was just at the drop. I'm pretty sure that was Yavin. Because when he flies off in the TIE, you see the Masasi temples.
But, like, why would there be an Imperial base on Yavin? Like, was at that
there,
point, right?
There wasn't an Imperial base on Yavin.
So then that doesn't make sense, because he was still on that planet.
No, he wasn't.
Did he jump to hyperspace after he got out, or did he just, okay,
he got out. He was not on that same planet.
Okay. Yeah, it's been a few weeks since I watched that. So.
That's okay. But when he flies off, you see a clear shot of, like, the temples lined up. That's why I was like, oh, this is Yavin.
Then that's still weird that, like, what the fuck was hunting them?
I thought that, because, like, I was always confused as to, like, when they finally do get to Yavin, I'm like, where are the piranha beetles and shit? You know, like, the stuff that's, like, native to Yavin that you hear about in Legends. Like, there was none of that. It seemed pretty tame. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure that was Yavin. Like, I'm, like, 99% sure. Because, like, why else do you show the temples when Cassian's flying off?
I mean, just for, like, thematic effect, maybe. But yeah, that does make sense.
But what doesn't make sense is that they just never explained like how Senta took out Tay. They never explained what happened to those fuckers. They left a lot of stuff loose end for that first triplet.
Well, they never showed Senta executing those Imperials in season one either.
Yeah, but I felt like we had gotten involved enough with Tay to where he deserved like some finality on his death.
Actually, as a matter of fact, they never show anyone executing anyone on screen, really.
True, but they do kind of hint that Luthen killed, what was his name? It started with a J. Young?
Well, yeah, I mean, we see the bullet in his chest.
Yeah.
Yeah, they never actually show any assassinations on screen.
Yeah, I just maybe
that was just too brutal for it.
But I mean, they showed Saw shooting the Imperial spy in the fucking head.
True, but maybe that's just to show like the savagery of Saw in comparison to like these are professional, you know, saboteurs and spies.
So to add some mystique to it.
Yeah, and to make Saw seem more, you know, a pirate and less like just like part of the rebellion core, which I mean, he obviously wasn't because he never really joined up with them because he didn't trust anyone because he was huffing gas.
Yeah. But I did like
that. I thought that was really great.
Yeah.
And like explain why he descends into madness and, you know, paranoia up into Rogue One is because he's been huffing fucking gas for years and years.
Bro, you got some of that Rhino on you. Trying to get that good fix. I need variation 6.
It's funny how he convinced I can't remember. It's been like
Wilmon.
Yeah, it's funny how he convinced Wilmon to do it. He's like, "Hey, yo, just try it. It's great. It's fine." And then Wilmon's just like, "Ah, fucking birds."
I'm actually good on the names for this one because I watched it twice for myself, once to go through and once to rewatch, and then I had to watch it a third time with Anna. So the names are fresh in my mind.
Got you.
That's crazy. I was barely able to get through it once.
Man. Andor's good. Shut up, Exotic. I also like
I don't know about that. I do.
I love how Andor kind of keeps it real with, like, I know it's a very menial, small thing, but, like, with Cyril, they always kind of keep it real. Like, the mom, what's her name? Edie? I fucking hate Cyril's mom because she's just, like, so fucking, she's just annoying. She's just really fucking annoying. And Dedra fucking reads her to tatters. That shit was, I was like, you go, Dedra.
Yeah, this season they really humanize some of those characters, and even like, you know, the villains, you end up like, damn, you just did all that for nothing. Essentially your life was wasted. You realized at the end that it was all for a cause that never cared about you in the first place.
You're on the wrong side of history, baby. It's gonna be hitting a lot of people in the next 10-15 years.
I love that Cyril it's just like goes off on Andor at the end. He's just like, you ruined my life, blah blah blah, and Andor's just like, who the fuck are you? And Cyril's like, are you shitting me? And then he dies. Amazing.
It's that scene from what is it, Endgame, where it's like, you took everything from me, I don't even know who you are.
Hell yeah.
But also, I'm convinced that Cyril got the strap in I think it was like episode 4, because like Dedra was like, turn off the lights, and I was like, oh, he's finna get it, not the other way around, because he's definitely a bottom.
Or, you know, Dedra's just really self-conscious.
No, Dedra definitely owns a strap on, I promise you. I'd bet good money on that one.
I mean, this is Star Wars, does it even need the strap part?
Oh my gosh, she's got a hover crotch goblin.
Or, you know, it's just an attachment.
Oh, Brick3PO, what do you know about cybernetic dildo attachments? Fuck, I'm never expecting it. Goddamn. But yeah, I knew the second that they brought Senta back into it, when Senta was like carting off Tay, I was like, I wonder if this results in a lesbian tragedy. And guess what? It resulted in lesbian tragedy. Those fucking Gormans.
Yep, of course. Like, dude, I knew the second that kid, they showed that kid, like, they're like, don't bring guns. And then that kid was, you know, back talking and whatnot. Dude, I knew one of them was dead.
Ugh, I saw it all like pieced together and I was like, this is some bullshit. The second the shot went off, I was like, yep, lesbian tragedy.
I thought it was going to be, honestly, I thought it was going to be Vel that died. So I was pleasantly shocked that it was Senta.
You want to know how I knew it was Senta? Because in that scene when they're sitting in the cafe and she was like, I'll tell you about it later. And I was like, no, you won't.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was watching with my wife, and I literally, during that, I was like, anime red flag right there. One of them's dead.
Exactly.
I said it out loud. I was like, yep, one of them just, you know, they just killed him off.
That's so fucking, it's such a fucking shame. But like the talk about the Gormans and like even going back to Gay Space Rave and like the traditions of the Shandrillans, I really liked their incorporation of more for alien languages in Andor too. Cause like this is the most you get of isolated alien languages in Star Wars. Like the Shandrillan language is kind of annoying to me because it's just like alien words spoken in like an English accent, which is kind of grating to my ears sometimes. But I really liked how like Gorman is basically like space French. Like I had to tune my ears for a second because I really thought it was French the way that they speak it. And like there was a couple of like lines that kind of lined up with French words. So I think that it may have like a French base, but like I really enjoyed hearing the Gorman language as like just a whole. And you know, even though I didn't like the way that it was pronounced, I still liked getting to experience the Shandrillan language too, because what was it like, Sangro Tima or something like that. It was nice to see like the alien culture in in Andor.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I did like the use of languages. I did like how the Gorman, you know, massacres essentially, well, that wasn't even the Gorman massacre, that came before, but like the Gormans are essentially, it was the French Revolution. I mean, they were just tying into that, right? Like you have the same kind of accents and whatnot, like similar, they're starving the people, they don't have enough, they're bringing in, you know, military, et cetera, et cetera. Yep. I thought that was cool. I want more spaceships. I love every time Andor was fucking around in a spaceship. I love spaceships.
Bro, it just goes to show you how much of a badass fucking pilot he was. Because he was trained on a completely different ship, ended up stealing the ship that he knew nothing about. And like by the time he gets to the planet where like Bix, Willman, and Brasso are, like he's fucking gunning it. Like he sees the Star Destroyer in orbit and he's like, nope, nosedive, and just fucking near him and fucking blows up that contingent of stormtroopers. That motherfucker is on his shit anytime he is behind the yoke of a vessel.
But damn, that one stormtrooper who had good aim.
The one and only.
Dude, and you knew it too, because like it focuses on him. He's lining down, up the shot. Yeah. Yeah, everybody else is just like blasting, you know, and he's like, nah, nah, nah. Let me wipe off my helmet visor real quick, you know, get the fog out of this bitch. Okay. Everybody else is hip firing. It's like, what if I use the scope for once?
What if? Exactly. This is, I really enjoy, like, okay, Exotic, I gotta know, like, what is it about this series that you just do not like? Is it really just the fact that there's no Wookiee or Jedi or Wookiee Jedi to get your attention? Because, like, this was action-packed. This series is good.
Well, first off, it's not Wookiee or Jedi. Only in combination do I care about it. But this, I don't know. I just really couldn't get into it. It's like season one was literally him trying to find his fucking sister, and we barely get hinted at it that he's even looking for her still. That kind of threw me for a loop. Space rape, rock, paper, scissors. Those two kind of pissed me off. I think the only good thing that has ever come from this is K2. He's the only character I care about.
He's not the only. I do love me some K2, and I love Alan Tudyk as his voice actor. But like, I'll side with you on like the space rape. I really wasn't into that. I saw it coming from a mile away, but
yeah,
still wasn't into it. The rock paper scissors thing was really fucking retarded. I can't say that, can I? It was really fucking stupid.
It was redacted.
It was very fucking redacted. Absolutely. But the part about the sister kind of makes sense, because first he was into it, and then I just imagine like being pulled into a whole rebellion, like galaxy-wide rebellion cause, is probably gonna stop you at some point. Or
yeah, but that's like the entire premise of season one, pretty much, was just him looking for his sister, and they just like abandoned it.
It was not the entire premise of season one. It was the opening episodes.
And it was just like his original premise for what he was doing that led him into joining the rebellion.
Yeah, it gave you his MO, and that was all it was meant to do, really.
I don't know. It still kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
I can see that, though. This series does have a habit of like giving us little tendrils of certain like plots that you may be interested in, and they just kind of tease you and then never bring them up again.
You know, I bet a lot of things rub you the wrong way, Exotic. Probably your left hand, for one.
Oh!
No, this Nakeda guy rubs me like...
Oh, I rub you?
Every wrong way.
I rub you everywhere.
I said every wrong way.
Yeah, I rub you every wrong way everywhere.
I didn't
you.
Say everywhere.
You said I rub you.
Every wrong way.
But I rub you.
Every wrong way.
You're rubbed by me. You want to know what rubbed me the wrong way that I didn't think was going to fuck with me as much as it did for Andor? Fucking the actor for Bail Organa. I was expecting the guy from episode 3 and 2, and I did not get him.
He didn't even look the same.
At all.
I was like, whenever like you first see him, I'm like, who the fuck is this?
He says, there's one scene where like when Mon's about to give her speech, he's like, doesn't he say like, give him shit or give him hell or something like that? Like, I forget what the line was, but he says like a very earthly expletive that I've never heard in Star Wars before.
I was like, oh, he said the thing. That's now Star Wars canon.
I was like, damn. They just really, they broke, Andor's been breaking some rules.
On him still, like, he was so much more stuck up than, you know, the actor we've always, or we, you know, we've had for 2 and 3 and other things. Like, he's so much more just an entirely different personality, really.
Okay, but I was okay with that. I felt like they stayed true to Bail still. Because, like, you got to understand, like, beforehand, he's not under the pressure of, like, having to, like, he's definitely leading, like, underground movements, right? Because he's trying to get, like, Senate approval. But he's not doing it on the grand scale, you know, as far as, like, treason and stuff. So I imagine, like, after a couple years, that kind of weighs on you. I was okay with how they portrayed him. It was the actor that I had the issue with.
That's what I meant. Like, not it, the way he portrayed Bale's personality. But also, like, you know, he was in the Senate, like, for the most part, he was countering most of Mon Mothma's, like, proposals and stuff to make it seem like they weren't, you know, related or working together. Yeah. And so, like, that was really the only reason that, like, when he opened up the floor to her, that they even allowed it in the first place, because this whole time he'd been, like, showing that he didn't really support her at all. And so they were like, why the fuck is he all of a sudden letting her on the floor? She must have something interesting to say. But then after that, the fact that he didn't get, like, lashed, you know, like, why did nothing happen to him after that? That was so weird.
Because he's not necessarily liable for what she said. He I mean, he could have definitely been like, I didn't know she was going to do that. That'd be, especially, like, what you just said. You know, it could be like,
The Empire, like, he'd be dead in a week, right? Like, I did love that. His, because he's getting, you know, insider intel. I love that the fucking team that he pulls for her is compromised, and he doesn't even find out until the meeting where Andor shows up and is just like, and your people were shit.
Oh, dude, I've always liked Cassian as a character, but, like, he was a real fucking homie that entire scene, because he even said, he's like, I didn't agree with everything that Luthen did, but I knew Luthen had his heart in the right place for this movement the entire fucking time. He did not let them talk shit about his dead homie. That's a real one right there. Cassian is a real one.
Facts. I will agree with that.
Like, he did not let them drag his friend's name through the mud. He was like, you're not going to do that in front of me. Like, y'all can do that in close quarters. Not here. Not while I'm here. And I was like, that's a real one right there. There was some other stuff that I also wanted to mention that were just really cool. Like, okay, so you know, like, the whole, what's the quote? Cool guys don't look at explosions. When fucking Bix gets her revenge on that Imperial interrogator, and her and Cassian are walk away from the building, you just see it fucking light up in the background. I was like, that's some cool shit. That was a cool shot.
That was really fucking cool. And I was not expecting it to, like, go. I thought, honestly, that was a fever dream for a sec.
I did too.
I totally thought she was going to wake up and, like, that was just a drug-induced coma that she was in.
He went for her fucking blood.
Props to her.
And then the other scene too, like, the fucking, the KX droids, when they fucking got released in the Gorman Plaza, bro, they was fucking them up. Like, they was just chunking people like they were dolls. Oh, man, that one Gorman front lady, she fucking lands and snaps her neck. That was fucking brutal.
That was that, like, Cyril's, like, side interest one, right? Or was Cyril's that the other girl interest? From the... Yeah. Okay, it's kind of implied that, like, Cyril had a side chick that was in the Gorman resistance, right? The one girl that he meets up with and she, like, fucking slaps him and...
I didn't think that was implied, but I'm also autistic as shit, so...
I totally, because this, like, for 2 episodes before that, like, he's becoming more and more distrustful of Deidre and the Empire. And then the next episode, they show him meeting up with a girl in secret, and she just fucking, like, slaps the shit out of him. And I felt like it was implied that they were, like,
I don't
or
think
they
so
were
maybe.
Maybe not involved, but, like, getting there, like working towards that. Like, I felt like he was going to leave Deidre at that point and, you know, was potentially going to her, and it just got all fucked up because of everything that, you know, he helped be a part of. It was very open-ended because it was just that brief scene. But I do feel like as part of his, like, this is fucked up what we're doing, come to Jesus moment, or come to Mortis moment, you know, he was like gonna leave Deidre. Because then he does. He leaves Deidre for the Gorman resistance, and he goes to join them in the fucking square. But then he sees Andor, and he gets pissed the fuck off at Andor because he's like, you ruined my goddamn life. Look where I am because of you. I'm stuck in this shitty mess because you fucked up my life, which, I mean, he fucked up his own life, we all know, but like...
But I mean, he met Andor, and immediately the problem was solved because he no longer had a life, so it worked out, right?
And I love that it was the bellhop that killed him, right? Or was it the... No, it was the...
His daughter had just... Yeah. His daughter was the bitch who got flung to infinity and beyond and cracked her neck.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back to that whole scene was great because, like, you see, like, when Deidre gives the call to go ahead and proceed with, like, their plan, like, she knows that she's damned herself. You can see it in her eyes. Then you have, like, Cyril coming to the realization of, you know, what the Empire really is all too late in the middle of it. And he's having, like, this starstruck moment while everyone around him is, you know, literally being shot and killed and trampled and all that shit. And he's just having this, like, semi-lucid moment in the middle of all of it. I thought that the work that they did with, like, scene transitions, like, going between what's going on in the Empire, what's going on with the Rebellion, with Cassian, with Cyril, with these characters, the way that they transition through the moments so you can see these characters and, like, maybe not know exactly what they're thinking, but seeing what they're thinking on their faces, I love that stuff. Like, I love watching Cyril basically realize that, like, the beast that he's kind of tried to feed and nurture and help grow and prosper, everything that he thought it was, he just realized, oh, this is nothing that I thought it was. And all too late, because what, not 5 minutes after, he catches a fucking blaster bolt to the fucking dome.
You know, leopards ate my face. You know that subreddit.
Crazy. There's just, this series is too good for me to just let you slide idly by Exotic and call it trash. Like, it's so good.
I don't know. I feel like it just jumps around too much, in my opinion. It's just like, start on, like, one plot, and then before it, like, actually has, like, a official ending, it just jumps to a different one, and then jumps to a different one, and jumps to a different one. I don't know. I feel like if they just made it longer and delved deeper into each, like, different sections of the plot, I think it would be a little bit better, but I don't know.
I do agree. I was a little, like, it was definitely jarring going from, like, the first three and then, like, the next three, and I'm like, what the fuck happened? Both my wife and I were like, bro, what the fuck is going on? We had to go back and make sure we hadn't missed an episode.
Yeah, it's just like, it's hard to keep up with, in my opinion. I don't know.
I will say I didn't like the, after each triplet, the time skip. Like, I wasn't a big fan of that. I'll give it that.
Okay, I guess they were like, they just kind of tried to crunch it into just a few episodes, and it just didn't work, in my opinion.
There's still a
lot. I mean, it got us to Rogue One, which I'm assuming was the point because they weren't doing a season three.
It ends 5 days before the plot of Rogue One or something like that.
Well, no, he literally is leaving to go meet with the guy that he kills at the beginning of Rogue One, right? Like,
I still think that was a couple of days between, though.
Well, they said the guy is there right now and he's going to leave in, like, X number of hours.
Yeah, it leads directly into the, like,
same way that Rogue One leads into the opening of episode four. Oh, that's cool. I thought it was a couple of days.
Yeah, so, like, we know exactly, like, you could go straight from Andor season two to watching Rogue One, and there would be no loss of time for you,
and that's just exactly watching it straight through. That's why I recommended this one to Anna, because that's exactly what I'm going to do with her. As soon as she finishes Andor season two, we're starting Rogue One.
That's what we did. I watched it, Rogue One, with my wife right after.
All right, I got some other honorable mentions, and then I won't keep y'all that much longer. So, one, I think the number one honorable mention for this entire series is Cyril absolutely giving the hands to Cassian. Like, sir, Mr. Cyril, I was unfamiliar with your game. I'm sorry for thinking that just because you've been a pencil pusher your entire life that you could not swing those two-piece combos at Andor. He was laying into that bitch. He was laying into Andor. I'm not gonna lie.
I mean, like you said, we don't know what happens when Deidre turns the lights out.
Bro, he was giving fucking hands to Andor.
Cassian was getting his shit rocked.
Yeah, no, for real, though. Like, Cassian for sure got Deus Ex Machina, or Deus Ex Blasterina, or whatever there. Because Cyril was going to win that 1v1.
I mean, he did. But he had the blaster. Like, Andor was dead to rights.
He was lowering it, though. I don't know if you noticed that. He was lowering it
because he was confused, because he was like, what do you mean you don't know who the fuck I am? But, like, I still think he would have been like, you know what? Fuck this guy.
The music for Andor was also, every time you heard them violins, it was a beautiful fucking scene. Like, every time, without fail. The composer, did John Williams didn't compose for this, did he?
Dude, the Chandrillon,
I believe so.
Fucking, the rave was a bop.
Yeah, that the was music some was
fucking
point.
Music.
The music was on point.
I mean, you know me. I only listen to electronics, so I was just like, fully hard.
I started voguing with them. Like, that when them scenes came on, I was standing up. I was like, uh-huh, let's get it.
I was out loud. I was like, okay, Star Wars. Okay, Andor. I see you. It was great. I loved it.
That's one thing that Disney has been pretty good at is, like, soundtracks in all of these series and everything that they're doing has been pretty good.
Yeah, music team on point. 10 out of 10, always. Then another one that I thought was another scene that I thought was like really fucking cool was the scene where Deidre finally confronts Luthen and seppukus himself or whatever, Sudoku. He commits Sudoku, you know.
I mean, he could have done a better job.
He definitely could have. But like the fact that the way he let it in with like, there's two items in here that are of, you know, questionable origin. And then he has the knife with him. And the second she pulls out the Imperial, like, star navigator device or whatever it's called, he turns around. And I was like, ooh, he gonna do it, ain't he? I knew exactly what he was leading to when he pulled that shit out. I was like, ooh. And I'm actually really glad they finally explained the background of, like, Kleya. Because I thought they was fucking. I'm not gonna lie. I thought they was fucking at first. And then I was like, oh, she's, like, his daughter.
I thought that was kind of clear the whole time. Because, like, why else would she stick with him when everyone else has left? Just because, like, she's manning the fucking radio.
Hey, look, pussy has made me do some crazy things. You never know. I needed that explained to me.
They were never, like, shown in any kind of, like, romantic... There wasn't even, like, a hint of romantic tension or anything there.
I mean, you could say the same about Jin and Cassian. I mean, they wasn't fucking, but they still kissed at the end.
No, they didn't.
I thought they kissed at the end of Rogue One before the annihilation.
They hugged before they died, but they absolutely did not kiss. And I think that was good because I don't think there was ever any romantic, like, anything between them. And I'm glad they did it that way because we knew up until, like, the events of Rogue One that Cassian... still just wanted to be back with Bix.
I'm remembering the scene more correctly. I thought they had kissed. It was just a hug.
Yeah, no, it was more just like, we're about to die, holy shit.
Oh, speaking of which, was that Cassian's baby at the end?
Yeah.
That was, okay,
yes. Mm-hmm.
You got Cassian too.
It was supposed to make it hit a little harder, and like if she had said something, he would have, if she had ever once told him. And that's why Vel said he needed to talk to her, because Vel wanted him to learn about the kid and go be with Bix. But Cassian, you know, was married to his job. He believed in, you know, the rebellion, right? And it was meant to hurt like that much more. It was like, if she had ever asked him to leave, he would have. And he even said, like, that's the whole reason she left in the first place, was because he would have left for her, and she knew that the rebellion needed him.
It's another Obi-Wan teen.
That, like, the lady, the force healer lady, who, like, gives him the nod at the end. Dude, that gave me chills. I almost teared up when she did that. Because we all know, like, she knew and she told him, like, everything in your life is leading up to one point. There's one place where you need to be at the right time. And the force, we learned, basically, that the force essentially was guiding Cassian. And, like, when he's walking away for his, like, last hurrah, she gives him the nod, like... She knows what's coming, and she knows that he's going to be there at the proper time, the right moment, to bring about the end of the Empire, because that was the beginning of the end for them.
But let Exotic tell it. It ain't a good story.
Bro, that scene, I had so many chills. I was like, wow, that was some great fucking, like, early foreshadowing, and then, like, right before he heads off, it's just like this is where you needed to be. Bro, that was so good.
It was something about that imperceptible head nod. You were just like, ooh. And then I guess the last honorable mention that I have, Oh man, dude, I can't, the cackle that I let out when I saw Dedra at the end in her prison whites on the same fucking station.
Narkina, yeah.
Her getting fucked, just the thought of her getting fucking fried. Oh my God. She got what she deserved. She got what she fucking deserved.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that's about all I had to mention about Andor. If I had to rate Andor as season two as a whole, I'm gonna give it like a 9.2. Andor, if you count season one and season two leading up to Rogue One and counting all three of those pieces as like one thing, I'm giving it a straight up 9.6. Andor season two and Rogue One is probably the best collective and succinct Star Wars like timeline progression that we have in the entirety of the Star Wars universe as far as media is concerned. I absolutely love it. I think it was done masterfully, both cinematographically, God, that's such a fucking hard word, music score wise, acting and actor choices. Like, I thought it was fantastic. Diego Luna as an executive producer, fantastic. Like, just I love Andor. Andor is the best that Star Wars has to offer, period. Just as Star Wars, not separating it like Disney or you know, Legends or what came before a certain time period. It's just the best Star Wars has to offer right now. I truly stand behind that and believe it.
Even with the Mando fucking boner that I have, I still agree. Honestly, I give it a 9.7, and I'm only taking the point three, like the total, the totality. I'm only taking the 0.3 off because when we went back and watched Rogue One, those K2 droids were fucking paper mache compared to the ones in the Gorman Plaza.
You know what?
That bothered me. That. Like the ones that they fight on,
Jeddah?
The ones that are on Jeddah, like those shits were paper mache compared to the ones in the Gorman Plaza. The Gorman Plaza ones, like they basically were made out of Beskar. Those ones were just like regular ass droids. And like we saw, that's part of why I was so like confused when they were using the K2 droids for the cleanup on the Night of a Thousand Tears, like when they burned Mandalore. Like, I'm like, why are you sending those fucking shitty ass, like, okay, the Mandos could beat those droids, like, even if, you know, their planet got glass, like, they could have beat up some of those droids, but then seeing them in the plaza, I was like, oh shit, that's why. It just bothered me going back to Rogue One and just, they were just side pieces.
It's probably because it was early on for Disney, because what, Rogue One was 16, right?
Yeah, it's just, I was just like, damn, like, they really nerfed. Or, you know, maybe the Empire just kind of cheaped out on K2 droids after, you know, the initial run or something. I don't know. But, like, it was just a little... That was the only thing that bothered me the whole time we went back and watched Rogue One after watching Andor 1, Season 1 and 2.
That would make sense timeline-wise, though, because around Episode 4 is when they start putting into the, like, Imperial Assassin droids. So maybe they scrapped the KX series and started pushing into IG. That's why
they probably had to like cut some costs to wrap up the Death Star construct,
something like that. But yeah, that's basically my thoughts on Andor. What would you give it, Exotic?
Are you sure you want to hear what I would give it?
I want to hear what you give Andor season two by itself, and then Andor season one, Andor season two, and Rogue One as a whole. What do you rate those two?
Season two, like a 6.2, and like as like a whole of Andor and Rogue One, or just Andor?
All of Andor and Rogue One together.
Like a 8.5.
You know what? I'll take that. I'll accept that.
Rogue One like hard carries it, but
I'm okay with that. That's better than what I was expecting. You give like a 4 or 5, so a 6.2, I'll take it.
Yeah, K2 carries season two quite heavily.
K2 was a really good addition. I really enjoyed that, seeing that he's been fucking stressed out by meat bags from the get-go, from his reprogramming.
And I love that they like incorporated the he's not allowed to have a blaster stuff.
And I was also just really happy they brought Alan Tudyk back, as I was worried, like, please don't change the voice actor. Please don't change the voice actor.
Well, everybody, that has been our episode on Andor. Thank you guys for chilling with us. Make sure to follow us on all the socials. Twitter, formerly known as X, Blue Sky, YouTube, Instagram, the website, forceunscripted.com. You can leave us a like, a comment, a review, a voice message. We play that stuff. We see all your comments. We love all your comments. Shout out to my boy, Eric.
We love you, Eric.
And thanks for chilling. See you guys next time.
Later.
May the force be with you, everyone. We'll catch you guys on the next one.